Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
So let's look at the Word of God. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Hallelujah. John 14, verse 15. Now, we're going to talk about, again, the Holy Spirit. This is our true ghost stories. If this is your first Sunday here or your first Sunday in a little while, we're in a series called True Ghost Stories, and we're actually talking about the Holy Ghost. And we're talking about him because it's time for us to get to know him for real. Amen. All right? And what I want to do today is I actually want to begin to give you some biblical foundation as to how the Bible describes the Holy Spirit so that you can know him, all right? Now, John 14, look at it real quick, verse 15, Jesus says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father," and some translations say another comforter. Some translations say a helper. So I will give you another comforter or a helper. If you notice in your Bible, that word comforter or helper is a capitalized word, meaning that it's talking about a person, a noun. He said, "I will give you a comforter," and when it's capitalized, it's not only talking about a person, it's talking about God, "that he may abide with you sometimes, in the good times, forever." Watch this, verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, for you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be" where? Come on, say, "The Holy Spirit will be in me." Come on, point to your heart and say, "He's going to be in me." Now watch this. There are two names right here in these two verses that Jesus gives us about the Holy Spirit. And I want you to write this down. Number one, Jesus called him the comforter or the helper. Those two words will be interchangeable, comforter or helper. So Jesus called him the comforter or he called him the helper. And then I'm going to use helper, all right? So you call him the helper, number one. And then in verse 17, he called him the Spirit of truth. Now, I want you to write this down because you're not going to remember everything I'm going to say. So there's two names. Now, there are many names in the Bible that describe the Holy Spirit. And names are important in Scripture. Names are important in Scripture. Why? Because names in Scripture was a description of a person's character. When they named people in the Bible, it was because they gave them a name that had a meaning, and they gave them a name that was describing something about them. All right? So it's important that even when God wanted to change some people's lives, he changed their names. Because some people walk around with names that carry a bad rep. There was a man by the name of Jabez who prayed and asked God to bless him. And the reason why he asked for a blessing was because Jabez's name actually meant someone who brings pain. Because when he was born, he brought great pain to his mother. So they called him Jabez. So Jabez, hearing his name, always saw himself as a person who brings pain, who brings trouble. "Wherever I go, I'm a pain in somebody's butt." And so Jabez felt nothing good could come out of him because of his name. Because he kept being called that. And if many of you can be real, some of you have spoken things about you that keep echoing in you. Some people called you names. They may have called you dumb. They may have called you ugly. They may have called you something, and it still lingers in you. And so in order for you to move beyond that name, you have to realize what God names you, what God calls you. And when you allow what God calls you to become reinforced in you, it can actually change the prophecy that that name once had over you. So names are important. So the first name the Bible says is that the Bible calls that Jesus described the Holy Spirit. Now notice that he did not say that he will give you another comforter that it may abide with you. Jesus did not talk about the Holy Spirit as an it, but he spoke of him as a person. Very important. Because if you see the Holy Spirit as an it, you're going to reduce him to something that he's not. You're going to reduce him to a feeling. You're going to reduce him to goosebumps or something. When in actuality, you're talking about a person. Not just any ordinary person, the Holy Spirit, and I want you to write this down, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. What's the Godhead I'm talking about? We're talking, some people say the Trinity. How God is three persons in one, right? So we know God the Father, we know God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. When we look at Genesis, we see in verse 26, when God said, before he created humanity, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Now, if you were here for a few weeks ago in our Peopleology series, I talked about how when God created us in his image, if we understand that God is a tripartite being, or he's three persons in one, we must also realize that if we were created in God's image and likeness, then we are also tripartite beings, three persons in one. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Come on. It's three persons in one operating in you. Right? So it's always important to remember that whenever you're eating, you're always eating for three. You are always eating, like a woman who's pregnant, she's eating for two, but you're always eating for three. You got to feed your physical, you got to feed your soul, and you got to feed your spirit. Come on. And if you don't feed one, the other's going to be hungry. All right. So now God is three in one. And now when the Bible said in verse 26 of Genesis 1, let us make man in our image, he was not talking about, or he was not talking to some other being. He was not talking to angels. Because angels were a part of the created order in Genesis 1, verse 1. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created angels. When he said, let us make man in our image, he was talking to himself. Yeah. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is having a conversation with himself. Now, it's important you see this. So, we know God the Father is described in the scriptures, and we also know a lot about Jesus because we realize that the whole Bible is revealing who Jesus is and then who we are in relationship to Jesus. But watch this. Here's the most important thing. When the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, when we jump back to John chapter 14, when Jesus said, I am going to give you another helper or another comforter, he wants you to know something, because here it is. Jesus is talking to his disciples, preparing them for his departure. We know that Jesus lived on the earth for how many years? 33 years. He lived on the earth for 33 years. His ministry was only 3 years. So from the age of 30 to 33, Jesus operated in his anointing and his calling, and he fulfilled his destiny. Now, when he's getting ready to leave, though, he says, I'm going away, and then I was a helper, because I'm sending you another helper or another comforter. I was a comforter for you for the past 3 years. I was a helper for you for the past 3 years, but I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going to die, rise again, and I'm going to go bye-bye, okay? I'm going to heaven. But although I'm leaving this planet, I'm not going to leave you alone. He even said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. And I'm going to send you another helper. And he said he will be called the Spirit of Truth. So, what is or who is the helper? What does that mean? And I want you to realize, every single one of you in this room, you need help. Amen. Come on. In some area of your life, you need help right now. Can I get an amen? Amen. We all need help. And God says, I'm not going to leave you helpless, because I'm going to send you a helper. Hallelujah. Now check this out. The word helper in the Greek is the word parakletos. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. Parakletos. And then in that word, you see the word kaleo, which means to make a call, and para, which means close or beside. So like if you're in a school, you have a para teacher or a para professional. What does a para do? They work closely with the person who's in charge. They work with the person who has a responsibility, and they assist. They provide aid to help that person do their job. Come on. But watch this. In the New Testament times, that word parakletos, or helper, was actually used to describe an attorney. A legal advisor. You got to catch this. So when they heard that term, helper or parakletos, a lawyer, our personal attorney. So what does that mean? It actually means a helper was one who helps make the right calls in situations. The one who helps us make the right calls in situations. Now notice, he's not the doer, because we want a doer. We want somebody to do everything for us. He's not the doer. He's your helper. He's going to help you in your situations. Right? The power doesn't do the job for the teachers, right? Wow. So, that means if he's the helper, he's our legal advocate. That lets us know that we can consult the Holy Spirit for direction and guidance at all times. Why? Because he's the Spirit of Truth. I want you to know something about the Holy Spirit. I told you that he's a third person of the Godhead. That means he is equally God. He's just as God as the Father. He's just as God as Jesus. And the Bible says that God is going to live with you and abide in you forever. Hallelujah. Y'all don't want this. Watch this. Let me tell you the difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was here for 33 years, but he left. His name is Emmanuel, right? God with us. But the Holy Spirit is not God with us. He is God in us. He is God in you. That's why he's going to abide with you forever. Jesus was only here for 33 years. And then guess what? As he was here for only 33 years, he could only make impact. He can only produce change wherever he was physically. Right? So because he was in Jerusalem where he was, he only had impact in Jerusalem at the time he was there. People came from far and wide to meet him there because that's the only way you was going to encounter Jesus. But now, as now, I'm the Holy Ghost. When he went on the cross and said, I'm giving up the ghost. He says, now I'm pouring out my spirit on all who want to believe and all who want to receive. So now there won't be just one Jesus in Jerusalem. There's going to be Jesus in New York. There'll be Jesus in Trinidad. There'll be Jesus in California. Jesus in Haiti. Come on, Jesus in Australia. Why? Because the same spirit that was in Christ is now in every single one of his believers. So there's Jesus everywhere. Hallelujah. That's why he said, it's better that I leave. It's better I go. Because I got all the Holy Ghost to myself. How many of you want to be like Jesus? Come on. It takes God to be like God. He's giving you his spirit so that you can be like him. We used to walk around with these rubber bands that said, what would Jesus do? You remember that? WWJD. And while it sounds nice, let me tell you what's wrong with that. Because what would Jesus do? Let's see how Jesus lived. Jesus lived his life consulting the helper. You got it? He lived his life waiting on the Holy Spirit to guide his life. So, you don't have to ask Jesus or think about what would Jesus do. Ask the Holy Spirit what to do. And what he tells you to do would be like what Jesus would do. Because what Jesus would have done was whatever the Holy Ghost told him. Right? Stop asking what would Jesus do. Ask the Holy Spirit what to do. And whatever he tells you to do would be just like Jesus. This is why you have to realize you can't compare yourself to others. Because how the Holy Spirit will lead me is different than how he will lead you. That's the danger of religion. Because we oftentimes preach our conviction from the Holy Spirit as your revelation. And my conviction, even if the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, is my revelation. You need a revelation to know what the Holy Spirit will have you to do in this season of your life. He is your advocate, your legal advisor. You're a helper. So that means before you look to anyone else for advice, the first person you should go to is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, you look for confirmation from somebody else. So you're not looking for the word from someone else first. That's why you don't know what to do. You're confused. When you ask the Holy Ghost, he tells you what to do. Then somebody else comes along and confirms what he said to do. After you get the confirmation, you say, all right, now I know what to do. Let me tell you something. Before I started this church, we were doing Hungry for God Bible studies. Everything seemed to be going okay. And then the Holy Spirit, I was driving home one day, after a Bible study, and in my heart, I just felt different. It just felt like I wasn't fulfilled anymore. God was moving, people were being blessed, but I knew in my heart something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. So as I'm driving home, I just decided to say, Lord, what's going on inside of me? Why do I feel like this? And then I had to pull over to wait to hear what he had to tell me. And then what the Spirit of God told me was, the reason why you feel unfulfilled is because I'm giving you a shepherd's heart now. Whereas when people came to the Mondays, I was excited to just be a teacher and send you to go out to your pastor. I didn't want to pastor people. But then all of a sudden, I became saddened that after people were going back and I didn't have a people of my own to shepherd. And so when I was driving home, the Lord gave me that word. Watch this. I didn't tell anybody yet. I went to preach at a retreat maybe 2 weeks after that. A man of God there prophesied to me. Notice the word came first. He didn't. Somebody didn't tell me you need to, because people were telling me you need to pastor for years. I was like, pfft. Right? Then the Holy Spirit told me, I'm giving you a shepherd's heart. So now the question in me was, not if I was going to shepherd. The question was, am I going to pastor in my dad's church? Because my dad had a church. Will I help my dad? Or will I turn Hungry for God into a church? I go to this retreat. God moves powerfully. And then somebody comes and prophesies to me. He tells me, God said to tell you that you have the mantle of your father, but a different assignment. This is the first time I met this guy. Exact words were, you have the mantle of your father, but a different assignment. That was Saturday. Monday, I get a phone call from another prophet friend of mine. And anytime he calls me, it's because he has some word. And so I picked it up. He said, man, God told me to tell you that you have your father's mantle, but a different assignment. The exact same word from two different people who don't know each other in one weekend. Holy Spirit giving me advice, first to me, then through others. So, did I have any doubts after that if I was supposed to start a church? No. I don't need 18 confirmations. The first one, I was like, all right, I'm a little uncertain. But the second one, and the Bible says, didn't he say he will establish something with two or three tops? Yes. So really and truly, all you need are two or three confirmations, yes, tops, before you move into what God tells you to do. Yeah. Everything else is just disobedience after that. Wow. Why? Because delayed obedience is disobedience. And when you move when God says to move, he gives you the grace to do what he says to do. He gives you the power to do what he tells you to do. He gives you the ability to do what you need to do. He gives you the resources, the money, and the time he tells you to do it. But if you delay and then try to do it when you think you're ready, the resources are dried up. He gave that money to somebody else. You waited too long. That idea you had that you were bouncing around and telling other people about, God said, I'm just giving it to somebody who's ready to move. Come on, do I have any movers in here? Come on. We are not like those who delay and wait on God. When God says to go, there's nothing else to wait for. I don't have the money. That's okay. Provision is on the other side of your decision. Did you catch that? I say for the person in the back, provision is on the other side of your decision. God got stuff that he's holding out. waiting on you to say yes to. And once you're ready to go, God says, then I'll send more. Then I'll send the help. Then I'll send the resources. Come on. So you got to know how the Holy Ghost works. He's your legal advisor, the Bible says. It means you look to him before you look to anyone else. And what can you go to him about? Just the spiritual stuff?
No, everything.
You can go to the Holy Ghost about everything. I realize that the Holy Spirit knows my wife better than my wife knows herself. The Holy Spirit knows me better than me. The Holy Spirit is the most intelligent person in the world. He's a genius. He created the planet we're on. All inspirational ideas come from him. Come on. So the Holy Spirit knows more about art than anyone else in this world. He knows about business. He knows about cooking. All of it. All of it. He knows about fashion. He knows about music. Come on. All of it. All of life comes from him. The Bible calls him the Spirit of life. So I can go to the Holy Spirit about everything in my life. If I have concerns about how to raise my kids, ask the Holy Spirit what to do. If I don't know what to do in my finances right now, Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. I need help. Hallelujah. See, that's why we have to graduate from just the Holy Ghost that makes us dance in church. He is here to give you wisdom, understanding, knowledge, ideas, creativity, solutions. Come on, this is what the Holy Spirit knows. That's all he knows. That's why he's the Spirit of truth. He's not going to dance around and tell you things that don't work. He's going to tell you the truth. And if you don't understand that because he's called the Spirit of truth, there's also error out there. So there is a spirit of error. You can't listen to every spirit. Why would he say there's a spirit of truth if there was an error? Some of you have been listening to other spirits, and the fruit of that is error. And what does error look like? What does error look like? Confusion, lack, frustration, worry, depression, anxiety. I want to kill myself. Error. But here's the deal. Instead of us turning to the Holy Spirit for help, we'd rather kill ourselves. People would rather kill. The Jesus said, I'm not leaving you like an orphan. I'm not leaving you powerless. All you got to do is want me. My time is up. Let me tell you another difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I want you to write this down. Because Jesus, Holy Spirit is my best friend. So y'all don't know what y'all got started. That's my best friend. Right? My wife is my second best friend. But the Holy Spirit is my first best friend. The Holy Spirit is the messenger. Jesus is the message. Now, if you don't want the messenger, if you don't want the messenger, if you don't want the mailman, then you don't want the mail.
Come on. Come on.
Because people want the gifts of the Spirit. They want healing. They want miracles. They want this stuff, but they don't want the Holy Ghost. How are you going to reject the messenger but not and want the message? want the power. You have to want. Another name the Bible calls the Holy Spirit in John 4 is that he is the gift of God. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, he said, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask me for a drink. The gift of God. Now, when the Bible talks about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says we cannot be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Why? Because the Spirit of God, as he is released to us, and he manifests himself in us in healing, in miracles, in prophecy, in tongues, in all these different things. The Bible says we should seek the gift. Now, the gift of God is the Spirit. But then we oftentimes think that the gifts are talents. Talents is different than a gift. Because how many of you know the Bible has given us talents or gifts without repentance, right? There are things in us that we can do without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Some of you can do things without the Spirit of God. But what happens is when the Holy Spirit begins to actually begin, when you say, Holy Spirit, I want you to help me. I want your counsel now. I want to seek your advice. I want you to show me how to do this. When the Holy Spirit begins to consult you, what begins to happen to you is that you become anointed. Everybody say anointing.
Anointing.
Write that down. Another name for the Holy Spirit in Scripture is that he is the anointing. 1 John 2:27. I'm going to end around here somewhere. 1 John 2:27. I want you to watch this. Woo, hallelujah. This is, look at it. 1 John 2:27. This is one that's not even in my notes. This is, look at it. Everybody say true ghost stories.
True ghost stories.
1 John 2:27. While you're writing, write this down. So the Holy Spirit is known as the anointing. Jesus is known as the anointed one. The word Christ means anointed one. And the Father is the anointer. So the Father is the anointer. Jesus is the anointed one. And the Holy Spirit is the anointing. Let me show you how powerful the anointing is and how important the anointing is. Because you can't talk about how living in the Spirit or walking in the power of God until you understand the anointing. Watch this, and we're going to wrap up around here somewhere. Verse 27, but the anointing, everybody say the anointing.
The anointing.
The anointing which you have received from him abides where?
In you.
One more time, where?
In you.
Who is the Holy Spirit? I mean, who is the anointing? The Holy Spirit. So the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which you have received from him, abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. Why? Because he is your advocate. He is your advisor. You don't need anybody to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So you notice how the Bible says, how do you abide in the anointing? By allowing him to teach you. I want you to catch that. How do you stay in the Spirit? How do you walk in the Spirit? You have how to do it. To turn to the Spirit and ask him to teach you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to go. Come on. And when you live in this right, this is how you begin to pray without ceasing. Because everything you're doing in life now is now based on your interaction and your connectivity to the Holy Spirit. You're communicating to him now. Holy Spirit, I need to know what to do. Down to Holy Spirit, what should I wear today? I'm telling you, if you ask him, he will answer you. Come on, anybody got? Do I got any witnesses? He will share with you secret things, and he will help you with the common things of life. Not just the deep spiritual stuff. He wants to teach you how to do life. I'm going to give you a practical advice. I was graduating from college. I'm going to show you how this stuff works. I was graduating from college. And while I was getting out of college, I was studying physical education. Apparently, there was a shortage of jobs for phys ed teachers. So people were telling me coming out of my last year in college, it's going to be hard for you to find a job. There's not that many phys ed positions out there. That's what I was being told. So I went to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, what should I do? As I was asking the Holy Spirit what to do, the thought came to me to reach out to my old gym teacher. So I reached out to my old gym teacher from the high school I graduated from. And say, hey, what's up, Mr. P? Guess what? I'm following your footsteps now. I'm going to be a gym teacher. Like, oh, that's great, Sam. I knew you could do it. I said, yeah, but I'm looking for a position right now. I don't know if you know any positions, anything that's going on out there in any other school. He said, well, wait, that's funny. Because Mr. C, which is the other gym teacher, he's actually going to another school. And he's actually looking for someone to replace him when the school year is over. So I called in May. School year ends in June. So now I speak to Mr. C. He was like, yo, you went to this school. If you want this position, I'm going to give it to you. That easy. I got a job coming September. Right? Just that simple. Just that simple. Not only that, after that, I got 3 more offers that summer. When people said it's hard to get a job in phys ed. I got stories for days I could share with you. But people don't understand how practical the Holy Spirit is. And you know what? He speaks to you. I'm telling you, he speaks to all of you. But you doubt yourself. Why? Because the Bible says he's abiding in you. So you know what's happening? When he speaks to you, where's the answers coming from? In you. You're waiting for a voice to come from heaven. You're waiting for a prophet to come from across town to tell you what to do. When the anointing is in you, abiding in you, and you do not need that anyone will teach you. If you believe this simple truth, this truth will set you free. The Spirit of truth will never lie to you. You go to him and ask him for help and for advice. He will tell you what to do, when to do it. There's simple things that I've done, and it don't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be spectacular all the time. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to tell my daughter. She's just acting crazy. I don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit might tell you, go make up her bed. You're going to be like, make up her bed? What does it have to do with helping her? And all you need to do is obey. That's just obey. All of a sudden, you make up the bed, and all of a sudden, you realize there's an anointing on her bed sheet now. Why? Because the anointing is released in his instructions. People who are anointed at cooking are anointed. Do you know there are anointed chefs out there? Do you know you can be anointed at cooking? Come on, you can be anointed at business, anointed in fashion. You can be anointed to do things. Whatever he teaches you to do, you become anointed at.
Hallelujah!
That's how you become anointed.
Oh,
What any area the Holy Spirit instructs you and teaches you, trains you in, experience what you winning is on your life to do it. And then when people experience what you have to offer, they realize there's a difference. They'll say, how do you do that? How'd you come up with that? What's your secret? Come on, what's your secret? Some of you say, well, you know, I'm just all that. I'm just all that. No. Your secret is the anointing. Woo! What areas do you need help in right now? I want you to surrender that to the Holy Spirit. He is your advocate. He's your helper. He is God. He is the anointing. And the anointing breaks yokes. The anointing transforms lives. The anointing makes things easy. It lifts the heavy burdens. Come on, any area in your life you're frustrated about, surrender that to the Spirit of God and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. And what you need to realize is that whatever the answers are, I'm going to just say yes. Because sometimes he will give you answers you don't want.
Tell the truth. Come on.
You pray to the Holy Spirit, I don't know what's going on in my family. Holy Spirit will say, go on, apologize to your kids. I don't want to apologize to them. They should apologize to me. No, you've been cursing at them. You've been yelling at them. You wasn't setting an example of me to them. But I'm their elder. They need to listen to me. It doesn't matter. He may tell you to do something that you don't like. Remember, he's the Spirit of truth. And when he tells you the truth, you may not like the truth all the time. The truth may sting. The truth may offend you. The truth may cut you. But it will set you free after. Amen? So with all that being said, I want you to just ask the Spirit of God. He is your helper. He is the anointing. I want you to meditate on this stuff this week. I want you to go over this week. All those verses I called out, I want you to just think about these things and allow your mind and your imagination to be carried over. You see, the Holy Spirit is a person. And because he's a person, he must be related to as such. You have to treat him as a person, talk to him, invite him into your life, speak to him. Always understand, because he's abiding with you and he is in you, that the Spirit of God is always where you are. So you're never helpless. Yes. Come on. I said you're never helpless. Yes. The helper is here right now. And this book called the Bible, it only makes sense with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes. Jesus is only real to you once you receive the Holy Spirit. That's why you don't have to say, what would Jesus do now? The Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. Amen? I believe the Spirit of God is even giving some of you wisdom right now. I want you to lift up your hands right where you are. Ooh, hallelujah. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Holy Spirit, I apologize for moving ahead of you and not moving with you. You are my comforter. You are my guide. You help me make the right decisions in every situation. I apologize for ignoring you and not allowing you to lead my life, to govern my life. You are God, and you value me so much that you chose to live in me. So who am I to ignore you but a fool? But with you, I am wise. I am strong. I always know what to do. I always have hope. I always have the ability to do things that you've called me to do. So from today, I make a decision to trust you with my life. You are not far away from me. You are right here, right now, abiding in me. So thank you for comforting me and showing me how to live just like Jesus, victorious every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give the Holy Spirit a round of applause one more time.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.